I must offer you congratulations, Rob, on your graduation.
Yes, and I must reciprocate those congratulations to you.
How about this? We've really grown up on this podcast, haven't we?
I know. They've seen us all come all the way through our undergraduate times.
Yes. I still have a couple months to go, but I got to finish up a few credits. But other than that, I'm smooth sailing.
Well, I am very pleased to no longer have to deal with Ohio winters in my life. So, it's all good.
That is,
everything is good.
Everything is awesome when you're part of this team.
Indeed. Yes. And only most of the time when you support Atleti.
I only last night realized that Atleti had a friendly today.
Yeah.
I only...
And of course, as per any Atleti match, there was a parte medico.
Oh, God, what happened now?
Did you not see this?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, man. It's who you think it might be.
Okay, give me three guesses.
Okay.
Costa.
Yes!
Oh, God, first guess. What did he do?
Nailed it. Well, he suffered something. The translation, left ankle. So,
great.
You know, when your striker gets injured in a friendly, that's always a good thing, right?
Just another hit to his transfer value. Great. Awesome.
Now how much are China going to pay for him?
Great. I only just realized last night that Atleti were playing in Israel today. Antoine Griezmann getting his final goal for the club via an early second half penalty. And then some dude, Maior Buzaglo, scored a double, and Beitar Jerusalem, I believe that's how you say that. My Hebrew is a little rusty, but I think that's how you say that. Anyway, apparently Costa got hurt, so that's awesome.
They are a team, yes, and, you know, playing friendlies directly after the season ends is very on brand for this club.
Yeah, they did it in, it was Nigeria last year, before the World Cup.
That's right.
And that's when you fell in love with Borja Garces.
That is also correct. There were no such inspiring goals today, I'm afraid.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a cherry on top of this whole turd cake.
Yeah.
That we call.
Yeah, because things aren't really great, are they?
Yeah, it's a cherry on top of the turd cake that we're calling Atleti's 2018-19 season.
And we're entering into a window that could just make things worse.
Well, we're going to talk about all that, Griezmann, of course, included, but the final whip around, Rob. Let's do it.
Yes.
Match day 38 in La Liga Santander. Pretty much every game of consequence was played on Saturday. We're going to get to Levante and Atletico in just a minute. But Sevilla, 2-0 winners over Athletic. Athletic had a chance to get into Europe on the final day, did not do it. Sevilla finished sixth, comfortably sixth, after mustering a semi-title challenge early in the season, but then they fell away, sacked their manager again, and they're in sixth.
Sounds about right.
It's very on brand for Sevilla. Getafe and Villarreal play out a 2-2 draw. Getafe, for 22 minutes, were in a Champions League place, but was not to be. They finished fifth. Still a remarkable season for Jose Bordalas' Getafe. Fifth place. Incredible. And the second best defense in the top flight.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Just what else is there to say? The latest report out today is that Bordalas is going to stay for next year as well, which is a huge boost.
Yeah, that's great for them. I mean, I'm not sure if another club comes calling if he'll depart, but we'll see. I have a feeling some clubs may test his resolve.
You would think so. A club like Sevilla, maybe.
Although, yes,
it's interesting.
One would think.
It's interesting with Bordalas, though, because Getafe's style of football is pretty defensive. And clubs like Sevilla or Betis, who've also been linked with him, they tend to play more exciting, up-tempo attack in football. So we'll see. Getafe, in the short term, might be the best place for him, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, especially since they're in Europe.
probably the most drama on the final day came in Catalonia, where Espanyol beat Real Sociedad 2-0 to clinch 7th place, a Europa League place. First time in 12 years they are into Europe. Did you see the post-match scenes from this game?
I didn't, actually.
We had a pitch storming.
Always good to see.
We had a pitch invasion. We had goalposts coming down. We had Borja Iglesias screaming his head off. I don't much care for Espanyol, but that was cool to see.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, you know, good for them, I suppose. It's been a long time, so we'll see what they can do.
Real Valladolid 0, Valencia 2. This result, all that Valencia needed, really. They are into the Champions League, finishing 4th. Ugh. Yuck.
Boring.
But Valencia are back there, and, you know, they had such a rough start to the season. So much bad luck. You figured it would turn around at some point, and indeed it did. Valencia finishing 4th despite posting more draws than wins. Always love to see that.
Yes, they... yes, we would have much preferred to see Getafe in the Champions League.
Celta 2, Rayo 2, Iago Aspas with a late double to make sure Celta stayed up, although they would have anyway, considering Girona lost 2-1 at Alaves. Girona are down. No more games at Montilivi. Thank goodness.
Woo!
Yeah, seriously. They were annoying, and they're owned by Man City, so I have no problem seeing them in Segunda.
No, it's not like they're just another small club. I'd feel bad rooting against them. But in this case, I'm glad to see them go down. They're our bogey team, and they're owned by a very rich club.
And Christian Stuani will be available for cheap.
Now, that's not a bad shout right there.
That would be a decent backup striker, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it surely would.
Huesca 2, Leganes 1. This was a fun one. The same player scored all 3 goals, Rob.
Not too often you see that happen, eh?
So we had Martin Mantovani, the former Leganes captain. He scored an own goal just before halftime. He was a substitute. He came on in the 31st minute as well as an injury replacement. 5 minutes before the hour, he scored. And then on 83 minutes, he scored again. 2-1 to Huesca as they say goodbye to La Liga with a home win. They, of course, were relegated a couple weeks ago. On Sunday...
He should have gotten the match ball for that, for what it's worth.
Scored all 3 goals. That's a hat trick.
It's a hat trick, man.
I love seeing those kinds. You see them like once a year. I love seeing those kinds of games where the same player just does it for both teams. On Sunday, Real Madrid 0, Real Betis 2. This is the bittersweet ending to the season, Rob. We won't get to see Real Madrid lose anymore.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, they're... The statistics that have come out on their season are just magnificent. 12th loss of the season, their 5th home loss of the season. Quique Setién going to the Bernabeu and winning. He went to Camp Nou earlier this season and beat Barcelona. He also beat Atletico at home, and he still got the sack.
Very, it's amazing. Very unfair, I still don't understand that, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, really unfair. He had a chance to kind of build something to oversee a project, and Betis just didn't give him the time. Granted, they had a disappointing year, but they had...
What did they expect?
Yeah, they had European commitments. They still finished mid-table, 3 points off the final Europa League place.
She seems short-sighted to me.
Very, unless they have a replacement lined up, which, you know, they probably don't.
Who's better than Quique Setién? I mean, really, who can they get that's better than that?
Eibar 2, Barcelona 2, that was the final game of the league season. Yeah, Barca held to a draw. They finished with 87 points. That's the lowest total to win La Liga we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, an unconvincing champion.
Lionel Messi scored both goals, yada, yada, yada. Couldn't do that at Anfield, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, he's still all right.
Couldn't do it at Anfield, Rob.
Yeah, one of those things. Although they did say that he couldn't score against English clubs, and then he scored again in the Champions League final. So I am not one that is ever going to doubt that little man anymore.
I will take a shot at him wherever I can.
I'm not going to play those games with him.
Let's take a look at the final standings here. Barcelona, again, winning the league on 87 points. Atletico in second, comfortably, on 76 points. Real Madrid third on 68. Valencia fourth on 61. Getafe and Sevilla on 59 apiece. Getafe had the head-to-head advantage over Sevilla. That's why they finished fifth. And Espanyol seventh with 53 points. And a negative 2 goal difference.
Thrilling. What a thrilling season.
It was an interesting year. The parity is... Well, I wouldn't say parity because Barcelona still win it every year. But it's getting a bit more even. It's dramatic. It's fun to watch. Remains technically some of the best football you're going to see in Europe. Overall, I think everyone kind of got what they wanted this year. Barcelona got the league title. Atletico comfortably in the top three. No one likes Real Madrid, so who cares what they want?
I mean, I think beyond the top three, it was really quite an exciting season. And I really enjoyed watching it as a neutral. I mean, I'm sure if you're a fan of any club between 4th and 20th, that it probably wasn't as exciting. It was probably more stressful, but it was really awesome. I mean, the competitiveness between those clubs in that range was excellent.
Oh, yeah. You get Getafe in 5th, Espanyol back into Europe, Athletic nearly getting back into Europe despite being in the relegation zone earlier in the year, Alaves putting in... a decent shout to be in the Europa League until they faded late in the season. Eibar safe again. Leganés safe again. We had a really exciting relegation battle. Villarreal, Levante, Valladolid, Celta all staying up in that kind of mad scramble at the end. Overall, it was a fun season. And
it was.
Yeah, and now it's over, and now it's 3 more months till it starts again, but... let's do a little more reflecting as we go now to Levante, where it finished 2-2 at in Valencia between Levante and Atletico. Where do you want to start? I guess we can start with this being the final game for several Atletico players. Diego Godin, Felipe Luis, Antoine Griezmann, Juan Fran, take your pick.
And possibly more, if you're believing what has been out there in the media the last several weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yep, could be the end for Rodri. Maybe Santiago didn't play, but he could be gone.
Tomas,
perhaps. Nikola Kalinic didn't even make the squad. So it's already like he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's felt like that since January, really.
Since he signed.
Yeah, really.
Let's be real.
For real. It just didn't... I mean, in the interest of transparency, the morning of this match, I was graduating, so I got to see absolutely none of it live and only got to watch it later. But it was very much a last match of the season lineup.
Yes, it was. It was a very last match of the season game.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sloppy, very loose, lots of shots. Lots of balls being lost. One of those kinds of things. And you get an 18-year-old scoring the equalizer with 10 minutes to go. So it really had everything, like the hallmarks of a last day of the season, like school's out kind of vibe.
It really did. It really did, and it was crazy.
So this, again, the final game for several Atletico players, four that we know of. Again, Godin, Felipe, Juan Fran, and Antoine Griezmann, who we'll talk about in detail a little later on in the program. Atletico went behind 2-0 in the first half. Two kind of strange goals, I would say.
Yes.
Especially the first one from Caballo.
Yeah, 5 minutes in, you don't normally see Atletico concede. Yeah, not exactly the best goal, and it's kind of the Antonio Adan sort of thing that we've been seeing this season. I mean, I think you and I both thought he was a solid backup goalkeeper, but in his appearances this season, he's looked far less than solid.
Yeah, wasn't a good cup keeper, and he started this match because Oblak suffered a muscular injury in training, big surprise, so he didn't play. He'd already wrapped up the Zamora Trophy for fewest goals conceded anyway. So Adan played. I don't think he was really at fault for... Maybe the second one. The second one wasn't great. It was a solid hit by Rocher, but it, yeah. The first one was just weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those kind of scrambly things. So
yeah, it was
you can't hate on him too much.
Yeah, I was headed. It was a corner that came in. I think Ruben Vezo headed it, and then it just ends up in the back of the net. One of those things, you can't really blame the keeper for those. So it was 2-0 at half. 5 minutes into the second half, Angel Correa gets sent off.
That's what he does, right? That's his whole purpose in the team.
That is what he does, Rob. Rodri then scores an amazing goal, assisted by Juan Fran, of course, who took the captain's band as well. And then 10 minutes from time, on comes Sergio Camello, the Atleti B striker who replaced Tomas at halftime. He scores the equalizer. First player born in the 21st century to net a goal for Atletico. And that's where it ended.
It's pretty amazing. And it's, I mean, you know, this is something that would never have happened in any match other than the last match of the season in the Diego Simeone team. But I'm really glad he got his chance. And he did quite well to take it.
Yeah, he got the whole second half. Victor Mollejo got 15 minutes as he replaced Javi Montero and a Canterano for Canterano switch. And you had the like the token Vitolo for Tomas Lemar change that didn't really, you know, change anything.
Academy player Vitolo gets to come on for his 25-minute cameo.
Yeah. So yeah,
but big shout out to Camello, who has had a really good season. Especially in the UEFA Youth League. I mean, his goal-scoring record there is fantastic. 5 goals in 7 matches.
Scored 5 there. He scored 6 goals with Atleti B. So, overall,
really good stuff.
And he said after the game he wants to be an Atleti legend, which is, of course, going to endear him to the fans.
Certainly.
We know Cholo's record of playing academy kids isn't sterling, I'd say.
It's mixed.
I mean, he likes them, but there are times where he could really use them that he chooses not to. He chooses to give minutes to, you know, Angel Correa instead.
Yeah. They really have to prove it to him.
And, yeah, he was in... Mollejo was in training all year. Borja Garces was making match day squads the entire year till he got hurt. Sergio had been training with the team for a decent time, so good for him. He comes on and gets a goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this Atleti B team, it's quite a talented group.
They're very good, yes.
With Camello and Mollejo and Borja Garces, who's obviously out for a while. But I really do wish that Mollejo had gotten more time this season. But it's good to see them being worked in. It'll be interesting to see how they, if they're integrated next season.
So you have those guys. Javi Montero played quite a bit this year. Carlos Isak and Andres Solano both played this year. And yeah, you just have, and again, Mollejo and Joaquin Munoz are probably the top two prospects playing for the B team. Mikel Caro, Tony Moya also played some center back this year.
Yep.
So it's definitely not a bad side.
No, and it's a good team, and seemingly Diego Simeone trusts them to some degree that they're getting game time, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much of a role they play next season, especially considering how many outs there could be and the potential amount of incoming transfers that there will be.
Yeah, exactly. It's a matter of how much money are Atletico going to spend. Are they going to really splash the cash, or will there be some hope and some attempt to integrate these kids into the team? And when they've played this year, they've been pretty successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll come down to what Simeone thinks of them. I mean, I think we saw this fairly clearly the last couple seasons with Sergi, who seemingly was on the bench all the time but never really got a look despite a desperate need for a left back.
Uh-huh.
And Diego Simeone makes up his mind quite quickly on players.
Well, Sergi is now playing in the Armenian League, so maybe Cholo saw something we didn't.
He might have been right on that one. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on his judgment. I think his eye test might be better than ours.
Yeah, perhaps so. Yeah, again, he is now playing in the Armenian League. It must be pretty lonely.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably nice, although it does mean that he probably can't go to Azerbaijan anymore.
No. Yeah. Central Asian politics.
Shout out to Kuwait, as always.
Yeah, Central Asian politics and all.
Yeah, all of this.
We could do a whole series of podcasts on that one.
Yeah, I feel like that would get us some unnecessary attention.
You are a historian, though, Rob.
Yeah, and we could get into it, but let's maybe for another time.
Maybe
when we're slow.
Yeah, when the dog days hit in like mid-July, maybe we'll revisit the subject.
When we're praying for a Chinese club to come in for Costa.
Yeah. Oh, can't believe he got hurt again. Seriously. Well, actually, you know what? I can't. He hasn't played in 7 weeks because he went and got himself ejected
really?
Against Barca. Oh my God.
Like, hey, he hasn't played for half the season. Let's play him in a friendly in Israel. That makes a ton of sense.
Ugh. So this was Juan Fran's final game.
Presumably, yeah.
Switching gears. Wow, we talked on the last show about what Diego Godin means to this team and everything that Atleti have been through with him, with Juan Fran, with Felipe, that trio at the back for the last 8.5 years. What particularly did Juan Fran represent about Atletico? What did he symbolize to you, Rob?
Well, I think, especially in his prime, and primarily I'm thinking of the title season here, Juan Fran was always kind of the rock of the team for quite some time, and it's kind of ironic that towards the end of his career it sort of flipped a little bit. He kind of became quite inconsistent, and we don't need to talk about the thing that happened, but he, in the title winning season especially, he was so dynamic as a fullback, but at the same time he was so solid defensively, and to have both of those qualities as a fullback in the modern game is so rare. And that's what's so impressive about him. And not only that, he came from Real Madrid and pissed them off, so I appreciate that.
He did. Former Real Madrid B stalwarts, made 6 first-team appearances for them, made his name at Osasuna before Atletico bought him, and he has made over 350 appearances for Atletico.
Yeah, a ton. An absolute ton.
Yeah. Juan Fran, I think at his best, he was one of the best right-backs in Europe. One of the best fullbacks on the continent. He had a really complete game. He had a lot of pace. Well, not so much pace as he had agility. He was really smart, tactically aware, had a good final ball, good dribbler, and he was always responsible defensively. Toward the end of his career, he kind of struggled a bit, particularly against like really skilled players. Like someone like Neymar always gave him fits. But he was always very dutiful in defense, made that really famous goal line clearance in the Copa del Rey final against Madrid that really saved Atletico as they went on to win an extra time. Just gave his body for the team, and he started to wind down the last 2, possibly 3 seasons if you go back that far. He did start to wind down a little bit, and he still got plenty of time because Cholo trusted him and because Atleti really haven't found his replacement. But that being said, Juan Fran will definitely go down as a club legend. That was sealed long, long ago. At his best, he was one of the best fullbacks in Europe, and he represented that the Atleti spirit. He was an outsider. He came in from the eternal rival. He made his name at another Spanish club. Then he came to Atletico and he bought into what Simeone was offering, bought in completely to it. And that's why he leaves as a true Rojiblanco.
No doubt about it. And I think perhaps what's most impressive is that you look at from the time Diego Simeone came in and from basically from 2012 to 2016, he played almost every single league match of the season.
Every single minute.
Unbelievable consistency.
Like, dude approached 5,000 minutes. I think he surpassed 5,000 minutes, at least on one occasion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just, he was an energizer bunny. And last 2 years, he got hurt a bit, not surprisingly. Over 350 games at 34 years old, that'll happen.
It will. I mean, and he's a great of La Liga. I mean, even the Osasuna team that he was in featured some pretty quality players. So, salute to him. It's a shame to see him go, but it's certainly time.
It is. It was probably time 2 years ago, but...
Yeah.
You know, the more time with Juan Fran you get, the more you can reflect on what he's meant to the club, and, you know, the more chances he had to run up his appearances record, so that's something.
Indeed.
He also got that throwback jersey that Godin was wearing at the Wanda Metropolitano the previous week. Someone brought it with them, and he kissed the badge, applauded the fans, did all that. He's also said that he's not going to go to another team in Spain, which is interesting. I'm not sure. Maybe he'll go to
Sounds
Italy.
Sounds like Japan to me.
Maybe Japan.
The other old Spanish guys go.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll join Godin in Italy. If he does stay on the continent.
I don't know about that. I mean, Godin still has, I think, a bit left in the tank, but I'm not quite positive how much Juan Fran has left.
Yeah, not quite as much as Godin, that's for sure.
Maybe he could play as a winger in Japan. Bring that back.
Yeah, he'll go join Torres and Iniesta over there, perhaps.
Yeah, it could happen.
No, but...
And David Villa.
Yeah. Indeed.
All his old buddies.
But yeah, Juan Fran ending his career, you know, with the captain's ban and an assist in his final Atleti game. And yeah, just a great Atleti career. It goes down as one of the greats, and... We will miss him. I wrote in like the three things we learned piece that it's going to be tough to replace this defense. Very tough to find a defense that is this enduring and this successful. You know, 8.5 years, a trophy a season, best defense in the league almost every year. Going to be tough.
And I suppose that, I mean, the part of me that holds out hope is that quite a lot of it is leaving now in both Godin and Juan Fran, which kind of, I hope, forces both Diego Simeone and the upper management of the club into actually making decisions to replace these guys rather than just kind of chucking the can down the road a little bit more. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting point, yeah, because now these guys are all leaving in one summer. I think there's two sides to that. The urgency increases now that they're all leaving, but it's also just a lot more to replace.
Right.
At one time. Which, you know, then again, Atleti didn't really do a good job when they were all, you know, leaving separately.
Also true. I mean, the hope is that some of the young guys that they have can fill some of these holes, but at the same time, they're clearly massive shoes to fill.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, going to be tough. Going to be interesting, more than interesting, to see what Atleti can put together, what they can cobble together.
This squad is real small at the moment.
Always has been, always going to be.
But even more than usual.
You know what? I'm fine with the squad getting smaller if Angel Correa leaves.
God almighty, what has happened?
Nothing good. That's for sure.
I mean, this season has just been an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, for him, more than most, it's been a disaster.
Yes.
Gave away that penalty against Juventus that ended that tie. I wrote, I think it's fitting that this is how Correa's season as a whole ends. That he gets sent off at Levante. But
I feel like due to the fact that so many people are leaving, there's no way that they're going to sell him now. I just can't see a world in which, I mean, unless they are aware of how bad he's been this year, and surely they have to be, but Diego Simeone loves him. I mean, I just can't see with all of the players leaving this summer also allowing Correa to leave.
But he's not good.
I realize that, but Diego Simeone thinks that he is.
I don't.
I know. I'm with you. I'm not.
And he doesn't have a podcast. I do.
This has been his worst season by far.
Yeah, he's 24 now. I mean, he's still young, sure, but he's 24 and he's been in the team for 4 years, and there's really been very little growth from him.
he has no position. He's never been consistent. And here we are. He makes terrible decisions now.
Like, well, that's not new. He's made terrible decisions since he touched down in Madrid. I think the one thing Correa has going for him is that he never gets hurt. That he's a guy that Cholo can play pretty much every week unless he gets suspended.
But, which also makes me think he's going to stay.
But there is no role for him. He made 36 appearances this season, only 20 starts.
It's bizarre. It is totally bizarre.
There's no... Cholo doesn't even know what his best role is. Atleti have got to move on from him if they can.
But the problem is now his value's never been lower. I mean, last summer they could have easily gotten upward 30 million euros for him. Now they'd be lucky to get 50 cents on that. I mean, genuinely.
Yeah. I don't know what his release clause is. I want to say it's not inexpensive.
But who's going to pay it?
Yeah, Transfer Market has his value at 35 million. I don't think he goes for that much.
Maybe
he would go for 30 million.
But on what basis? I mean, he's an attacker that has never scored more than 10 league goals.
He's not a striker. He's not a winger. He's not very disciplined.
Right. He's not a good passer. He's not creative. What are we really... I mean, what are we selling here?
He has a lot of things that he can do well, but he doesn't really do any of them well.
Yeah. He runs around a lot. If Harry Redknapp was still managing, he'd sign him. Unfortunately, he's not, so here we are.
Yeah. I just think he's... I would say he's running out of chances, but Cholo's given him well over 100 appearances now.
Damn near 200.
Yeah. Yikes.
Here we go.
Rodri scored in this game. That was cool. Rodri might also be leaving. That's not cool.
That's terrifying.
That's not cool. There was an article in AS last week that... There's also one in AS today, which I'll get to in a sec. But there was one last week that said... Cholo doesn't view Rodri as essential, that they're in contact with Marcos Llorente, and that Cholo would be fine if Rodri left, so he can get Marcos Llorente.
God, why?
I don't know if that report is true. I don't think it is.
It can't be.
It can't be, right? You'd think not.
Surely.
But Cholo has had some strange player evaluations before.
I mean... the only thing that makes me think that's not true is that he played all but 5 league games this season. So surely if Simeone didn't believe in him like that, he wouldn't have played him. And he was playing him over Tomas, who we know that he loves.
Yeah, other than like that, the early part of the season, you know, Rodri played almost every game.
That's right.
And
he was excellent.
And AS had another report out on Monday that said Man City want to get Rodri and give Atleti Gabriel Jesus in return.
Which is more interesting.
Very interesting, yes.
Granted. At the same time, yeah. It is tempting. But I just feel like it is far easier to find a young striker than it is to find a young defensive midfielder.
Mm-hmm.
There's far more young attackers in the world than there are brilliant young defensive midfielders.
So we'll see what happens. Either way, it doesn't sound all that positive for Rodri staying at Atletico past this summer, which would be a real...
It seems like it's going to come down to him.
Because someone wants to pay his release clause, and someone is able to pay his release clause, which, not great planning. To give him, you know, quote unquote, only 70 million in terms of a release clause.
I mean, every club that has 70 million to spend and needs a defensive midfielder should be willing to pay that.
Yeah,
sure. Because he's worth basically double that.
I mean, I'm sure Atletico didn't think anyone would pay it.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's like not
Barcelona didn't think anyone would pay Neymar's.
Yeah, and it's not inexpensive, but. Gotta be aware, there are a lot of clubs that are in stronger financial positions than you are.
Like all of the English clubs.
Like all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically they're just praying for Man City to get a transfer ban.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be nice.
And I'd get banned from the Champions League. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be extra cool for me. Yeah. But that's selfish.
Yes. Very. Last thing before we move on to Griezmann. Atleti, once again, in the top three. They clinched that a while ago, though. That's not the point I want to make. This consistency that they have now, that we're used to now seeing under Simeone. 75 points or more every year in his seven full seasons. They've won at least 22 games in each of those seasons. They've had the best defense in the league all but once in those seven seasons. One first-place finish, two second-place finishes the last 2 years, and four third-place finishes. Champions League football every year. You just kind of expect this now, and it's remarkably consistent. It's really, considering Atletico's history, it's maybe not. Winning La Liga was miraculous. This isn't as miraculous. This is just steady as steady goes. And for a club like Atletico, that is much needed.
Yeah, and it is something I think about quite a lot, because it's quite easy to be annoyed about kind of the last couple seasons because they've been disappointing. But at the same time, considering the history of the club, it's not, I mean, in the new millennium, it hasn't exactly been smooth sailing. No. Prior to Diego Simeone arriving, other than the Europa League triumph. But yeah, it's not been great this year. I mean, even though finishing second is great and all, it doesn't feel so good.
Listen, Atleti had a lot of problems this year.
Yeah.
We've gone through them. They couldn't score goals. They got really old. They finished second in their Champions League group, which brought them a difficult matchup in the Champions League. They, again, couldn't beat really... They couldn't win the big games they had to win in La Liga. And they, again, struggled in the transfer market. But even... And to put, you know, the cherry on top of that, they had all these injuries this year. Just all of a sudden, Atleti have to deal with 50 injuries. An injury a game, basically. And yet, here at Atletico are, they won the Super Cup in August. They finished second in La Liga. They beat pretty much everyone else outside of the top three. They lost only four times to clubs not named Barca or Madrid. They've just remained there. They're consistent. They're in the picture. Not the title picture, but they're in the top three very, very comfortably.
They are. And it's a good place to be financially. It's good for the club. But the reality of the situation is that if Atleti drop out of the Champions League at any time in the next few years, it will be devastating financially.
Yeah, getting to the last 16 over the last 2 years, failing to win a Champions League knockout round the last two seasons, that is tough. That's tough. Atletico's financial reality means they've got to do something in the Champions League just about every year.
Right, exactly.
That remains the reality.
And that is not an ideal place to be.
It's not great, but Simeone is making it work.
Yes.
This is a squad that is old in a lot of important places. This is a squad that has, let's face it, has gone stagnant. And yet here they are, comfortably ahead of Real Madrid, well behind Barcelona. But, you know, nestled right in there, they're sandwiched into second place. He had to play Saul at left back for most of the year. Just showing you how many options he really had. And, yeah, it was a strange season. Lots happened, but at the same time, not a whole lot happened, in a way.
It really didn't feel like a lot happened.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Champions League campaign was certainly better than it was the season previous, because the Europa League sucks, but I don't know. It seems like since that match in Turin, the season just was over.
And Atleti were out of every competition by mid-March. That's that's tough to deal with, and it's tough to get up for those games.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I wish Chola would have experimented a little bit more. But, you know, Chola is kind of... this Leopard's not going to change his spots. At Leti, you're kind of always going to play this way. They're going to be conservative both in style of play and in choosing to use younger players. The club is hopefully not going to keep swinging missing on transfer targets. This summer is going to be the most decisive one in Cholo's tenure, pretty much, because he has to rebuild an entire defense for the first time. We'll see how he does.
But and if he signs a bunch of 29-year-olds from the Portuguese league, then it's not going to be a good thing.
It's not going to end well.
certainly not.
Maybe not. But overall, I think we both kind of gave this season a C+.
Yeah,
it's about right. Atleti did what they were supposed to do, beat the teams who they were supposed to beat, got the league finish I think they deserved. They were pretty clearly the second best team in La Liga this year. So
I don't think there's any doubt about that, but at the same time, they were never particularly close to Barcelona.
No, they had several chances to get closer, and they just couldn't quite do it. And when you're facing a team that is as regular... is the Spanish phrase, as regular as Barcelona are, you need to be basically perfect. And Atletico are a very imperfect team.
And we shall see how this team transforms, because it really will this summer.
Also, your comment on the Europa League sucks is not lost on me, Arsenal fan.
Look, I've had to watch the damn thing the last two seasons, and I'm not enjoying it. I mean, I don't want to see this shit again. I'm tired of it. I don't want to play any more of these bum teams.
All right, let's move on to Antoine Griezmann. One of the last times...
Oh, dear.
The last
Speaking time, of things I got mad about.
One of the last times we will be discussing him on this program, since he will be leaving the club. Yeah, he's leaving. The report was that he was in the process of filming another frickin' documentary, and Atletico found out, and they made him announce that he was leaving. That was the background. He met with the club, told Cholo, Andre Berta, and Miguel Angel Gilmarin that he was leaving, and Atleti said, right, you're going to do the video. It was a 2-minute video instead of a 32-minute documentary in which he said, essentially... thanks, thank you next, essentially.
Yeah.
You said the standard things you're kind of expecting to say, and that, you know, these 5 years have been great, fans have been everything to me, but it's time for me to move on, experience new things, which, i.e., I want to win trophies other than the Europa League.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Rob, you went off in your column. I don't want you to, like, rehash the entire thing, but, you know, go off. Go off, Queen.
I mean, I was quite annoyed in the fallout to this. And this was, I will point out, I wrote this before we had known that the second documentary was coming. So that would have just made things worse. But, I don't know, I kind of found... the whole exit to be quite cowardly. I kind of felt his time at Atletico was kind of, especially in the last couple seasons, was kind of marred by inconsistency and kind of a general lack of application and more of an interest in promoting his public persona rather than actually applying himself. Certainly he contributed a great number of goals to the team. I mean, he's been the top scorer in what, the last 5 seasons?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
That's not bad. I mean, look, I don't hold anything against him. I mean, he's a quality player. But the reality of the situation is that I find him quite annoying as a person, and I'm not going to be totally depressed to see him leave. And I think the price that Atleti will get for him will be good, and hopefully he will be replaced properly, because Atleti do have a good track record in signing strikers. So we'll see what can happen. I'm more annoyed about it than that, but we'll leave it there.
Yeah, anyone who hasn't read Rob's column, go read it. You'll find out how annoyed he was, and still is.
Quite. The answer is quite.
There are a few layers to this, I think, and Griezmann is obviously, I think, a complicated figure. I don't know how really to assess his legacy. I guess there is a time and a place for that during the summer, but we can go into it now. I don't really know how to define his Atleti career. I mean, he only won one major trophy. That was the Europa League. He only really had one truly memorable European night, and that was the Europa League final. Yeah, he scored, you know, goals in other Champions League knockout games, important goals, but that's the one night that's going to stand out because it led to a trophy.
I can think of another night that stands out.
Yes, so can I.
Yeah.
We avoided it when we talked about Juan Fran. We're going to avoid it now.
I feel less bad talking about Griezmann's role in that.
But I ran a poll on the site, and 57% of respondents said they would remember Griezmann as a club legend, and I'm just not entirely certain about that. I mean, he's one of the top five scorers in the club's history, but Atleti didn't win a major trophy. They won one major trophy with him here. And
let's be honest, it's a secondary trophy.
And he made such a big deal about coming back and saying, this is my home, these are my fans, this is my club, and then a year later he leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of sums up Griezmann. He's flaky. I think he's flaky and he's indecisive and he is much more concerned with his own personal brand than really above anything other than, you know, trophies, which just boosts his celebrity. I mean, Griezmann, I think, on his day, he's obviously a world-class player, but he's not always on his day. He's allowed himself to get distracted a lot in the past few seasons, and his numbers have dipped. This season, he only scored 15 league goals. That's the lowest total he had in red and white. And in a way, that kind of symbolizes where Griezmann's head has gone. And in addition, his contract shattered Atleti's wage structure and contributed to several of these guys leaving.
That's right.
So he's done, inadvertently, he's done some damage to the club, to the inner workings of the club. Now, granted, he's not the one who gave himself that contract. Atleti gave him that contract, which, looking back, was pretty fiscally irresponsible. But even then, it's just another feather in Griezmann's cap. He's going to leave as a complicated figure, and I think that's how he wants it. That's like the only way he could have left. It was never going to be straightforward with him because he's not a straightforward figure.
And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next stage of his career because he's 28, which is his prime, essentially, and he probably has about 3 to 4 more years, but the fact is that he's played in a Diego Simeone team, which means that his longevity is clipped compared to other players.
Griezmann's always, he's always stayed healthy, but yeah, we'll see as he gets a little older.
He's played a ton of football.
He has played a ton for France and for Atleti.
Right.
And yeah, he is 28. He's not all that young. He's still in his prime. He's still a really good player. Fabulous player on his day. It's also going to be funny to see, maybe not funny, but it's going to be very interesting to see where he fits at Barcelona, assuming that's where he goes. He's been Atletico's Messi. He can't be Messi at Barcelona. He hasn't succeeded as a winger since he was at Real Sociedad. He's not a number 9. If you play him regularly, it means you cut Ousmane Dembele's minutes. What are they going to do with him, assuming they sign him?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if you look at Barcelona's transfer policy over the last 18 months, it's been kind of scattergun approach, sign all the guys that are pretty good, and none of them really fit together. And I think the reality of the situation is Luis Suarez is getting old and kind of broken, and there's not an easy replacement for him, and Antoine Griezmann certainly is not Luis Suarez.
No, you could just sign Luka Jovic for that money.
Right.
For less than that money.
Right. I mean, if people can think what they want about Luka Jovic, I'd like to see another season from him before I declare him world class, but at the same time, he's much more of a pure striker than Griezmann has ever been.
I could see this becoming another Coutinho type or Arda Turan type thing for them. I could see that coming for sure.
I agree.
And of course, there was that report in Sports, the big Barca paper last week, saying that Barca's dressing room does not want Griezmann anywhere near them.
Wonder why?
Which I think is just outstanding banter.
And really telling, I think. Especially considering that he made his documentary with Gerard Piqué's film company.
Yeah, so, bye Antoine. It was good knowing you.
I know something.
And enjoy whatever you do. You'll be remembered for some stuff, for some good stuff, and also for some bad stuff.
Let's just, yeah. I mean, there are some really nice goals in there, and I'll just try to remember that in the future, and ignore his personality.
Easier said than done.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right, well, that's over 50 minutes of Atletico content. I think we should sign off.
Probably so.
Rob Walker, thank you for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Always my pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. You cannot follow Into the Calderon on Twitter because that account is suspended.
What did we do? Let us out of Twitter jail.
No discernible reason. We hope to have... Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Twitter. Appreciate it. We hope to have the ITC Twitter account back up by the end of this week. I can't even access it. Tweets won't even load for me when I try to access it, so that's really fun.
Hopefully we can get that back, because we really didn't do anything wrong. Free us.
Not that I know of, so.
It's not my fault. Don't look at me.
You can like ITC on Facebook, though, at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Yeah, we're still over there. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. And you can become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. You can get access to our bonus pods from as little as $3 a month. And yeah, there's some cool stuff over there. We'd really appreciate it, you supporting the show, if you can. patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. We'll be back next week. Our end of season pods will get underway. Until then, adios.